There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, and on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you got. There's honey in the rock. Praying for a miracle, thirsty for the living well. Only you can satisfy. Sweetness at the mercy seat. Now I've tasted, it's not hard to see. Only you can satisfy. There's honey in the rock. 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 Freedom where the spirit is. Bounty in the wilderness. You will always satisfy. There's honey in the rock. Water in the stone. And on the ground. No matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you've got. There's honey in the rock. Purpose in your plan. Power in the blood. Healing in your hand. Started flowing when you said it is done. Everything you did, you know. There's honey in the rock. Whoa. I keep looking, you keep finding, you keep giving, keep providing. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I keep praying, you keep moving. I keep praising, you keep proving. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I keep looking, you keep finding. You keep giving, keep providing. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I keep praying, you keep moving. I keep praising, you keep proving. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you've got. There's honey in the rock.
Good morning, Hope on the Beach Church. How's everybody doing today? Wonderful. We are glad that you're doing good. We're glad that you're here. It is nice to see you. My name is Rachel Harris. I have the privilege of being your host here at the 98 campus at Hope on the Beach Church, and it is such a privilege. I want to say welcome home. It doesn't matter if this is your first time here or if you're here every week. You have just entered the house of the Lord, and he says, come into my no judgment zone, where everybody is welcome just the way that you are. And we want you to worship in whatever way suits you best. So just be comfortable and be you. Also, we want to give a welcome to anybody that might be watching online. If you are on our website or YouTube, we give you a special welcome. You can follow along with today's message by downloading our worship folder and bulletin on the homepage of hopeonthebeach.com. Please go ahead and share this service if you're on YouTube. And help us spread the gospel. Let us know where you're watching from. We love to hear from you. And if you are here in person for the first time, welcome. It is such a blessing to have you. And if you take a look inside of your worship folder, you're going to see this little connection card. We would love to find out about you, where you're from, how did you hear about us. Any special requests you might have could go on the bottom, on the back side. If you're here weekly, your name is enough. Unless there's something else that you want to share with us. You're a gift from God. He told you to get up, get out of bed, and come and worship this morning. And we want to honor that. Amen? All right, so at this time, we'd like to call you to worship with us. So come and just let us worship. God is here, and He is telling us this morning, lay aside all your distractions. Whatever it is that you're loaded up with this morning that came with you, just take it off, set that luggage aside, and fix your hearts on Him. Let's rise and raise our voices to the Lord.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcome. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive, break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things. And I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. God, you do great things. Oh, oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive, break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. You've done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive, break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. You have done great things. Oh, God, you do great. Take a moment. So we all remember when we had nothing, and then maybe you never had nothing. That's weird. Or maybe you had an injury or a sickness, whatever that looks like. You know, when we look back, we can see God move. That He is faithful. So I want to share a story. I was a baby, about 3 years old, 4 years old, I can't remember. I was trying to climb my brother's bunk bed through the footboard up to the second bed, yeah. And I fell off, head first. Before I continue, Do you guys believe that God has a plan for you? And if his plan, he will make sure that plan happens. If you got a calling in your life, he's going to work it out. Because it's his call in your life, not our wants. So I got rushed to the hospital, and I won't go through the gruesome details. But the x-ray was put up, I showed to my mom. And they said, if the fracture of my skull would have gone just a hairline further up, I'd be deaf all my life. And here I am. It was his plan for me to be here. It's his plan for you to be here. Whatever you've struggled with, when we look back, we can see him working. So I want you guys just to take a moment and find one of those moments. Reflect on it and thank God for getting you here right now at this very moment. So grateful for you, Father, for your faithfulness, for your hand in our lives, for your call to us. So grateful. We love you so much. You know, and in Matthew, Jesus says, look at the flowers. Look at the lilies, right? Look at the sparrow. Look at the birds in the sky. They need for nothing. They want for nothing. God provides for them. How much more will God provide for you that he loves you? Do you believe that today? He loves you. He got you here. He got you through those moments. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you. They look at the flowers in all of their beauty. Know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to supply everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. My Father has it. Look at the sparrow, lacking for nothing. No fear for tomorrow and what it will bring. Your love will satisfy for everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it, my, sing it again. Everything I need, everything I need, my Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. Yeah. So seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else it will be. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. 'Cause I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. I know the Lord will provide everything I need. You're everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it.
Sing it again, come on.
You're everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. So seek first the kingdom and its treasures, everything else it will be added. All that I'm needing, for I know the Lord will provide. 'Cause I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. Oh, I know the Lord will provide. Yeah, I know the Lord will provide. I know the Lord will provide.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. My name is Jason Sheeler. I have an honor and privilege to be the senior pastor here at Hope on the Beach Church, and I am glad to be back. Thank you. Yeah, it was great to be able to be with the grandkids and kids and the new grandkid to be. Woohoo, the little girl that got shot out of the fire hose. Oh, that's good. But it was neat. It was neat. So, as I was with our kids, you know, and it just was a reminder, like, whenever you do something with your kids, you know, there's always this question. How much, right? How much is this going to cost? How much is this going to be? How much is that when you plan a trip? How much when you go in the store? How much? I mean, we ask how much a lot, don't we? It's part of what we hear and we think and we look at our future. How much do we need for our future? I mean, we're kind of constantly asking this question, whether very much verbally or inside or our subconscious is asking how much. Interesting, our context today, Jesus says it a little bit differently. He says, how much do we give? And it's not how much is your bank account, not how much you make. It's not how much you like to give. But it's really about how much do you trust God to give it away, to let it go. In Mark 12, Jesus takes his disciples to the temple and he sits down and he watches the offering. Jesus is watching the offering. He's watching how people give. I find that interesting. Because in the church world, we've got this idea that no one is to watch my giving. It's a personal thing. It's a private thing, you know. You don't need to know how much I give, and you should know how much I give because it could influence you. So we're always in this fear. If people know how much we give, we could be influenced, right, by the old favorites because they give more because our flesh goes that way. Or is it that we really don't want to talk about how much we could give because we don't want to reveal that? Like, people should know that, and maybe we'd be embarrassed if people would know how much we give. And we maybe use a scripture. We say, well, you know, Jesus says, do not let your left hand know what your right hand's doing when it comes to your giving. And it's not that scripture is to be used to say, oh, it's all a private thing. No, it's about pride. That's what that scripture is about. We should not take pride in the giving because it's only giving what we've been given. We're giving back only what we have been given by God. So the ability, the opportunities to earn and have those gifts. And so it's not, as the scripture is talking about, it's an issue of pride. Don't take pride in the amount of your giving. Because that's not the point of it. Because Jesus is looking at something much deeper than your giving. So as we take notes, again, number one, Jesus is watching. He's watching the money roll in. In chapter 12, verse 41, he says this. He says, look, and he sat down opposite of the treasury. So he positioned himself to see it away from the people. And he watched people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put a large sums. So you got a picture. Here's the temple. And Jesus kind of making sure he's opposite. He's clear view of this. And there's 13 different offering boxes around the temple. And they were there with a cone shape of a trumpet and metal. And so people came in, and they put their coins in, and with that metal comb, what do you think it would do? It'd make noise, right? And so if there's a lot of money, there'd be a lot of clinging noise there going on. It might sound like a casino, maybe. I don't know. Okay, that wasn't funny. I should have dropped that a long time ago. And so the rich come in, they come dressed well, and they drop these large, heavy sums of money. And so there's lots of noise. And so this is actually kind of becoming a show. People are all watching what's going on, I think, and they're watching to see how much money's coming in. And so here comes a person who looks wealthy, they're dressed well. All right, here comes a large sum. Let's see how loud it is. How long is that sound going to keep ringing as it goes down? And it becomes a big show. It's time to show off and for other people to watch. And I'm sure as they are watching these disciples, they were probably pretty impressed by it. And I'm sure the people out there were watching and being impressed. Like, oh my goodness, wow, look how much they gave. How can they do that? How can they afford that? It's kind of like driving down 38. You go, wow, 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 how much more? How much bigger can it get? How did that work? But Jesus is not impressed with the amount. He is not impressed with the dollar amount. Because Jesus is not looking about how much money, but he's looking how much should they give from their heart. He's looking at the amount of the heart that's in the giving. I mean, we live in a world that is fascinated with numbers, especially America, and we're fascinated with bigger numbers. Because America, we kind of think bigger is always better. It started with fast food, I think, with the, can you want to upsize that to the bigger meal, the bigger drink? Oh, well, of course. I need bigger, because bigger is always better. We have, the more, how big's your house? Square footage. We think about square footage when we look at a house. Your income, your bigger income means you're better. It's, whether it's a boat, it's a, how big was that fish? It's a church. We go, well, how big is your church? It's one of the natural questions, because if it sounds big, then it must be good. How big's your tithe? But Jesus looks deeper. He looks at the heart. And while the giving that we're seeing looks impressive on the outside, it's not impressive to Jesus, because Jesus is not looking at outside. He's looking at the inside. And then comes the widow. Number two, the widow's drop in the bucket. As Mark 12:42 says, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. The widow in that culture were often very poor. And the reason being is there's no safety nets. There's no Social Security. There's no government programs. There's no food pantries. There's no pensions. She doesn't have a source of income. And she walks up probably quietly and nobody's looking. Or maybe they look because they're like, well, this ain't going to be much. This will be quick. There's no anticipation of a loud sound from her. She drops her two tiny coins in there. Probably a quick ding, ding. Done. Seem worthless from a human standard. I mean, it is a drop in the bucket. I mean, really, compared to everybody else, does this really matter? I mean, why even bother? I mean, a penny? I mean, what, in America, are we going to get rid of the penny or not? I mean, we're kind of like, a penny is like worthless, right? And yet, it made a difference with Jesus. It breaks Jesus' silence from being an observer. Now he's going to use this for a teaching moment. He notices this gift. See, while man is looking at numbers, and man is looking at what size and a lump sum, heaven is looking at faith. Heaven is looking and measuring the heart, not numbers. I mean, as you read through God's word, you see it over and over. Jesus is not asking how much you know. He's not asking how much you do. He's not ever asking how much you give. He's asking how much of your heart. Where is your heart in alignment with him? Is your heart fully aligned with him? Is it fully surrendered to him, or is it not? Is it divided? Is it partial? Is it hard? Is it soft? Where is your heart? Where is your heart aligned to? Where is your heart going? And where, because where your heart is where you go. I mean, we see it in the story recorded by Matthew of the rich young lawyer who comes up to Jesus and actually kneels before him. Oh, good teacher, what must I do to inherit heaven? I mean, there's some things wrong with that question right there. Jesus is more than a teacher. He's not just a good teacher, but he used that word of good to kind of maybe associate with God. He's kind of kissing up to him, but he's asking, what must I do to inherit heaven? You can't do anything to get an inheritance. It's a gift. And already we see that this guy is misguided. His heart is out of alignment. The religion has got into him to a point where he is looking at his way to earn, to purchase, to grab hold of a gift that can only be given through Jesus. And Jesus says anything, nobody's good except God is good alone. And he says, you know the commandments, do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he said to him, the young teacher, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. He loved him. Jesus is not condemning. He loved him because he saw his heart was misguided. His heart was in the wrong place. It was full of pride and arrogance, self. But even more, it was full of stuff. And Jesus looked at him and says, look, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And come follow me. He was disheartened by the saying. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to disciples, how difficult it would be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. How sad. Jesus says, you lack one thing. Sell all your possessions. What's the one thing he lacks? Faith. Where did he find his security? Where did he find his meaning, his fulfillment? In his stuff. Jesus says, you got a bunch of idols. So you think you're good, and you're good, and you deserve all these blessings, and you need to have all these things. You don't realize that even in my goodness that I give you blessings, you're there to be blessed, to be a blessing. Not for just yourself. And so Jesus is trying to cleanse his heart. Look, get rid of that stuff. Does Jesus want us all to get rid of everything? No, we're not just supposed to be all poor. That's not his purpose. But he wants you to get rid of it if it's an idol in your heart. It's keeping you from being a follower of him. He wants you to get rid of it if it's more important than him. And so he held himself, his status, and his stuff more important than Jesus. Jesus said, look, you got to get rid of this and come follow me. Because the thing you really want, the eternal life, which is the gift through Jesus that we all have right now, we have it now. We're going to have it in full when we get to heaven. But you have the gift of eternal life in you. That's what you long for, what you need and desire the most and put your hope in can only be given, and you can get the benefits of it when it is in your heart and not just on your sleeve as a label. So Jesus says, look, I want you to give to the poor. I want you to give it away so your heart gets free of all this stuff and follow me. Then what you so want and need and long for, you will have. But he can't, because his possessions are more important. They go first. And he walks away sad. See, somewhere in the Christian walk in America, we've made this idea, you're blessed by God when you have stuff. That's not a biblical blessing. It's part of it, but a biblical blessing was being blessed by having a relationship with God first. And secondly, is having relationships with others. Blessings was measured by your family, your community. And somewhere along the line, we turn blessing into only stuff. And stuff is the main part of blessing. I'm really blessed by God to have all this. And God is saying, no, the real blessing is that you have all this. You have people, you have relationships, you have love, you have a family, you have a community. You know God, and God is in your life. Because all this other stuff doesn't go to heaven with you. These people do. I mean, we lost a relative the other day, and we're kind of like, it's a little distant relative. And the question is, well, how well did they know Jesus? Well, we're not real sure. What a horrible answer. Oh, by the way, though, he did well in the world. He left his family with money. Great. They got daily bread, but they don't have eternity. What good is that? Oh, we passed it down. Good. Great. They have a good life here. Eternity's going to stink. See, somewhere along in Christianity, we stopped falling in love with the giver and we fell in love with his gifts. I said this before to you all, you know, that the greatest sin we have in America is not all the sexuality and stuff like that. It's greed. It's greed. It's American consumerism greed is the greatest sin we have. We're the wealthiest nation and we're the selfish nation. I mean, if you look in the card on your notes, I put a little card here. If you go to this side, it's colorful. And this graph, if you can go to the other one, the one big one on the right, you know, this graph right here, this is just this year. I could do any year and it would be this way. But just look at that graph on the right. That, of all the people in our database, and we're debating, you know, how many of that, it could be 5,000, it could be up to, you know, that's just this year that worshiped with us. And it could represent households, or it could represent, it could be a lot bigger. I think it's more like it represents, like one name represents a lot of people. But regardless of that, look at the gap between those who give and those who don't. Now, you could argue with me, well, they're tourists. I'm just a tourist. It's not my home church. And well, okay. But, you know, according to South Walton, the average tourist comes here, has a household income of about $160, $180. And, you know, a vacation here costs anywhere between $3,000 to $5,000 if you're on a budget. If you're in the middle, typical, it's going to be $5,000 to $7,000. And if you're not, it's $8,000. I mean, luxury, it's $8,000 up a week. So I'm just asking, what's your priorities? What's your understanding of worship? Oh, I gave at my home church. I don't do anything else. What do you got? I gave at work. I don't do any other giving. I mean, the Bible talks about, man, where you get fed by the gospel, you give. So you didn't get fed by the gospel while you were here? You don't want to support and pour in God's kingdom? You, I made my contract, I made my decision, and I'm done? Like my heart is cut off to anything else that God is doing and working and I'm experiencing. But it's not just tourists, it's locals. It's members. I mean, if you flip to the other side, go through the bar graph with the different colors. So out of that 250, that's how it breaks down. Now, there are some people might be missing in there a little bit because they do cash only. But there you go. Where's the biggest column? Under 50. Less than $50. Yes. Year. So that includes, there's people who worship here regularly who do nothing. So this is all to this year. And I could run it for last year and it'll look the same. But I just did this year. Median household income in South Walton is $170,000. People that 25 to 44 median income is $88,000 in South Walton. And if you're above 45 to 64, it's 115 median income. And you know, okay, we got people from Freeport and other areas. Okay. Freeport, median income is 46,000. So I'll just say we all live in Freeport. What if we all tithe at $4,000? What if you had 200 people tithe at $4,000? That'd be $800,000. That'd be more than our budget right now. And I know I said it, so I'm going to come on it. And people are going to say, well, the Old Testament is about tithing. That's Malachi. That's in the Old Testament. Jesus has come. That doesn't apply to us anymore. Well, that's true. Jesus came and he fulfilled the law. And that law, those rules like that, the ceremonial rules, they don't apply. You're right. So what did Jesus say? Jesus said, okay, to my moral law that hasn't changed, do not commit adultery. He said that in the Old Testament. That was one of the great commandments. But what did he say in the New Testament? If you even look at a person with lust, you have committed adultery. Huh? Look? Old Testament was act. I'll take that one. Look, I'm guilty. You're all guilty, because I've seen you look at the lifeguards on the beach, women. You're all bad. No, just kidding. Right? But we're all guilty. He raised the bar. It's not tithing. It's higher. And why is it? Because in the Old Testament, they just had the promise of Jesus. They had to put their faith in something that they did not know that it's going to happen or not. We're on the other side of Jesus. Jesus has come. He has come and died for you and I. It's been revealed in history. It is a fact. It is a truth. And you have the gift of salvation. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit that they long for, wish for. You got it. So the bar is higher for you and I than it was for them. I mean, even AI. The smartest guy, I think I said this to you earlier, the smartest guy, he's got like an IQ of 256 or something like that. Smartest guy in the world says, you cannot disprove Christianity. Christianity is the only faith you can prove and is real. In fact, AI will come to a point where it will start professing Jesus, which is starting to happen. It cannot not do it because the logic and the facts are all there. You have certainty. They had hope. Therefore, the bar is higher for you and I. And tithing was only given to be a habit, to help lead your heart in devotion to God. That's why God had it as a rule. Because the things that you give to, the things you care about. If you rent a car and you hit a curb, or hit a speed bump too fast, you pause for a second and go, it's okay. You don't care. If it's your car, you're like, oh, I better look into that. I got to check it out, make sure it's good. Why? Because you bought it. and what you buy and invest in, you care about. Because where your money goes, your heart goes. And that's why Jesus talks about it, because he's realizing this is not about money. He's talking about where your heart is. An American's heart is not aligned with Jesus, not even in the church. I mean, you can look at the next graph on the bottom, the bright blue one. I mean, I'm glad that we have a camel with humps or a dinosaur back. I don't know, but kind of a lot of peaks and valleys, is it not? There's praise God, and you can praise God for two things. One, you can praise God for faithfulness of large gifts, because there's a lot of large gifts that are above 5,000 that help this church. We can praise God that there's consistent givers on the first Sunday of the month. That's what the peaks are. And then the rest is, it still shows very inconsistent over the year. And the green just kind of lays it out, what it looks like. All the giving each month. And it's funny how July, one of our biggest months in attendance, is one of our lowest months in giving. I say, just, where's our hearts? The widow's heart was trusting in God. And so three, Jesus shares why a drop is more than a large sum. In verse 43, he called his disciples to put him to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who have contributed to the offering box. For they all contribute out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." And so she gave, even though it was a drop, she gave more spiritually. She gave more spiritually. And how is that? Is that because it was, one, it was sacrificial versus abundance. It was sacrificial versus abundance is one. See, the rich gave without feeling it. It was in their abundance. There was no hurt. There was no sacrifice to it. The widow gave, and it came at a cost, a great cost to her. The giving of the rich didn't even change her heart. It didn't even prick their heart. It wasn't even a sense of, like, obligation. It was the show. It was fun. I have much. I got to do something with it. I'll give it here. I'll get some attention. To them, it was a drop in the bucket. Again, God doesn't measure by the size of the gift. He measures by the size of the sacrifice, a proportionate giving. Paul talks about in Corinthians, he says about all of us giving proportionate to our income, but equal in our sacrifice. He calls the whole church to Corinth and says, look, there's some that are sacrificed and there's others that aren't. It's not about how much you're giving. It's about how much are you sacrificing for the sake of the kingdom. And so he calls all to an equal level of sacrifice. An equal level of sharing the burden of carrying out the kingdom and caring for others. Yeah, different levels, but the same sacrifice. And why? Because we have a God who came, who's abundant, who is the most abundant of all. And what did he do? He gave his sacrifice to his one and only best son. His first son. And so in his abundance, he gave abundantly, but he also gave in great sacrifice. For he who knew no sin to take on sin and take our sin to a cross and to suffer and to die in order that we could have life, he could give away his abundance to us. He gave his whole heart to us in the hope of a great reward, that you get to know him and know his love. And that love worked through you. And I know, but this is what I always hear. Well, you know, when there was COVID, and then there's inflation, and then, you know, we're in such uncertainties, and how are we going to, you know, I got to make sure I got this stuff. I can't give. Look, we're always going to be in a place of uncertainty. That is this world. It is chaos. There are no guarantees in this world. The only guarantee and security we have is in God. The God who's been faithful and will be faithful and will always be faithful. And that we put our trust in Him. The things is that we get squeezed, we find uncertainty, and we start to hold on to our stuff more. It's when we are time to maybe to sacrifice, to change priorities. Because what God does is He allows money crushes to come into your life because He wants to get attention in your heart. He wants to help change some things in your heart. He wants to maybe move you from things you feel entitled to that you have to have to things that you don't have to have that you're not entitled to kind of separate you from it. To say, you know what? I thought I really needed this in my life, but I can do without it. It's amazing. See, when a widow gave her gifts, she was declaring, God is my provider. And I know He'll provide. When we did our church plant in Michigan, I mean, I was in a church planter salary raising three kids. Chrissy's working a little bit of part-time for us at the church. And I was paying $60,000 in tuition to go to SEM. It was tight. And we finally had a financial guy says, you just got to start squirting a little bit in CDs to have for emergency. And so we started to do that a couple hundred a month. And then we had like 6 months worth. And then we stepped out of ministry and we had no jobs. And then we're just pulling on those CDs for 6 months. And we did, God provided work for us. And then we did have a job, but it was less. But you readjust. You can make hamburger helper and another box of noodles get stretched out and feed an army. It's amazing. We never had cable, but I mean, people made fun of us then because it was a sacrifice. We weren't entitled to cable. We had the Family Channel. It was a VCR. That's what we watched. You do without. The world says you got to have this. You got to have organic food. You got to have this. You know what's amazing? You can do without. It's amazing what you can get by with. It's just the older we get, the more we get, we think we have to have more and deserve more. And like when we moved down here, maybe Phyllis can remember. I mean, we moved down here in 2009. It was the house crunch, the crisis. And our house in Michigan was way ahead of you all in Florida. When I bought our house, it was a four-bedroom house. We bought it. We had like two houses in that area where we planted a church that were four bedrooms. One was 1970, one was 1992. We went the 92 one because I don't fix things well, as you may know. But the 92 one had a couple that had a divorce, and there was holes in the walls and stuff. It was kind of bad. But the shell was good. But when we sold that house, we lost all the money we accumulated, and it was a short sale. So we've been out a year of ministry. We went through our reserves, and now we got a short sale to try to cover, and we're trying to get a house down here. And I was stressed. Honest, I was stressed. And I had a friend in Michigan say, look, God didn't send you there to be homeless. Just wait. And God led us to a house that was on foreclosure here. And then He provided a loan that we could get with nothing down because we didn't have it. I mean, I had a 12th grader, and I know college is on our mind, and I'm sitting there going, I just want to get you a house, you know. And we had no college funds, but God provided for college for our kids. He provided for them to have weddings. He provides. It's amazing. And while I think it's great to say, hey, you know, we need to have planning and security and stuff like that, that's good. The Bible talks about you have plans. But it also talks about the foolish person who builds up big piles of grain bins, and thinks I'll just sit back and take life for myself. And He says, you fool, today your life will be taken from you. What are we really trusting in? So here's some takeaways for us. A, giving goes hand in hand with trust. If you missed number two, I might have missed it. It requires faith versus security. It requires faith versus security. I mean, it takes risk to give. You got to trust. You got to give up. Faith is risk. Faith is believing what is not seen. When I give, and I give sacrificially, I am believing in what's not seen that's going to God's going to provide. So here's our takeaway. Giving goes hand in hand with trust. How much you give really reveals how much you trust God to take care of you. Giving reveals a heart and your heart what you truly trust in. If I truly trust in the things of the world to give me fulfillment and pleasure and to make my life meaningful and have purpose and joy, then my priorities are all filled up in the world. If I believe God's the most important thing, then my priority first is with Him. Again, isn't like God is a killjoy God. He knows what's good for you. He wants to give what's good for you, and He wants to give you good things. I mean, look at creation. I mean, why do we have dolphins? We don't eat them. What's the purpose of a dolphin? They're fun to watch, though, aren't they? There you go. God in His creation wanted to give you pleasure. He wants to give good gifts. Matthew, Jesus says, you're a good heavenly Father. You earthly fathers know how to do good gifts. Your heavenly Father knows how to give good things to you too. And He longs to give you good things. So it's not like He's a killjoy. He says good things are bad. He's not even saying wealth is bad. But what is bad is when it takes over your heart and gets in the way of Him. And so He's warning, like, look, what do you really trust in? And be careful, because when you get abundance and you get more possessions, it's easier to trust in that than it is in God. I mean, here's the thing I didn't say to the other ones. If we go into a third world nation, and people go, you would be blown away at their faith and the miracles going on. And if you talk to people that go and do these mission trips in different places, the miracles that are happening, the people being saved, not just saved, but their faith and the fight they go through and the miracles of people being healed. Why is that? Because all they have is God. They don't have medicine. God's healing. And God's moving. They learn trust very quickly. Because it's a daily thing. And see, the takeaway is that we got to see that God measures by sacrifice. He's not impressed by big checks. He's impressed by a surrendered heart. Look, we can't go through life and say, look, I'm just going to leave a tip for Jesus. Like, pay the food bill, everything for me, and then if I got some money left over and I got good service and things are good and I got a little extra, okay, I'll give a tip for Jesus. And maybe I don't, and so I'm all pleated out, so I got nothing. No, He goes first. Jesus said, seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. His righteousness is giving too. And that verse comes after the verse He just talked about. You worry? You know why you worry? Because worry is a divided heart. He says, do not worry. You can't serve God and money. You can't have your heart with two different lords over it. You can only have one. You'll love one or hate the other. This is why I think a person got up and walked out when I was doing a giving message. I'm just going to say, what's on your heart? I'm not telling you how much to give. I'm telling you, asking where you are in your heart with your relationship with God and to trust Him. Because these things will be added to you. God has given us way more than we ever thought. Now, not on my timeline. C, it challenged our self-reliance. I mean, America likes to be self-reliant. And there's some good things about we should not be this dependent and not take care of ourselves. And there's wisdom in that. But here's what I see. Many people are longing for a closer relationship with Jesus. I mean, we've had so many people come up to say, I'd love to be baptized or remember my baptism. I want to reconnect with God. I want a fresh start. I want to feel new. I want to be close. And yeah, that's good. and people coming back to worship. We're seeing a little bit of revival, a revival that's happening with the younger generation amongst young men who are coming to Jesus. And praise God for that. And so God is bringing a remnant forward for our next generation. And let's just pray that man, God, open us up for that, right? And people are looking to be close to God. And maybe they come back to worship and they go into Bible study. But I'm going to tell you, if you really want to get close to God and you really want to experience Him in a greater way, be in a place of sacrifice and suffering. Be in a place where you have to rely on Him and not rely on your own self and comfort. That's why mission trips are usually so effective, because everybody gets away from their own environment, their own little comfort and their creature features, and they're stripped down to say, oh my goodness, I need God because it's rat soup tonight. See, we got to put ourselves in a place where we're reliant on Him to provide. And then we'll see Him. We'll see His work with daily bread. We'll see His work, how He provides. D, hope in action. The widow believed that even if she gave her last penny, God still held her future. I mean, do we give like that? She gave without fear, but with hope that God has been faithful and will remain faithful to take care of her. So again, Jesus never asks, how much do you give? He's asking, how much will it cost and how much do you trust me? Those two coins are still talked about today because they were gifts of faith. Faith from our heart. And so we are all here. We are on a pathway in our giving. We all are. So if you take out that little card again on the back side, is the giving pathway. And this is a time for you to we're going to talk about this, but I want you to go pray about this. Paul says that we should set aside our offering, and we should do it as a cheerful giver. And I know I want you to be a cheerful giver. So if you go onto the other side of that card, there is this chart here for you. And it really illustrates the giving pathway. And so here's the giving pathway. First step is that emerging giver. Emerging giver has not given before and just starts to give out of saying, Lord, you've blessed me what I received, and I want to honor you, and I want to worship you, and I want to start trusting you. And so you demonstrate this, but you just start giving. I mean, there's a lot of zeros, so just start. Wherever the Lord leads you, make a start. And for some of you, you have started giving, but you're very inconsistent, and I want to encourage you to be an engaged giver and be engaged in your giving and be consistent in your giving. Like, this is how I'm going to give, and this is how I'm going to give regularly and consistently. And you pick a place. And you say, look, this is where I'm going to grow. This is where God's led me to be a consistent giver each month. Or some have done it consistently each year. Whatever, what is your consistency? And trust a giver. One who says, I'm going to return 10% and starts tithing. Says, I'm going to give 10%. I'm going to have my stewardship reflect my faith by putting him first and putting him as a priority in my life. And you'll wait to see that God can do more with your 90% than you can do with 100%. You will see that you will have more than you thought you had. God shows up. And then expanding giver. Expanding giver is going above and beyond the tithe and recognizes that it's just out of fully God's generosity. I want to honor that generosity in my life with all my heart, mind, and soul. And to give above and beyond the tithe. And the other pathway is extravagant giver. In view of eternity, my short time on earth, how can I give to outlast my earthly days to ensure God's kingdom through eternity? This is insurance, inheritance. How can you leave legacy gifts or large sums? I mean, hope is where we are today. One of the two things that have really blessed us is we have one family who set up an endowment that gives us money each year for missions. And so we have been blessed with that, and we've had 1 year, and we'll see what happens this next year. And we can just pour all that money into missions, and we've been starting to build out that budget, and that's really exciting. But we're also here because someone sold their business, and they gave $500,000 to the church, which then the church said, oh, my goodness, We got the building paid off. We can actually buy land. We can move forward into vision. Instead of saying we got to wait for 5 years now, we can maybe do that in 3 years. If someone gave a large gift that moved the finish line and hurried things up and advanced the ministry, that's what the large gifts do. And so there's the pathways that are in the pathway of giving. So I'm going to ask you that you just pray about it. You say, God, where's my heart? Where you lead me? And make that commitment. So I did a wedding last night, and it was hot. It was no air. It was awful. No. But I love being around newlyweds. I think everybody should be wedding crashers because, you get around newlyweds, right? They're just so full of love. Like, there's nothing their spouse could do wrong. They're all happy, and, like, they got nothing, but they don't care because they're going to live on what? Love, right? Going to live on love. And it's just fun to be with. And it's a little contagious. And I go, what if our hearts were like that when it came to giving? God, I trust you. Because I'm living on your love. Like, I got a love for you like we're just getting married. It's fresh. It's not all set and got stale and it's got miles on it. It's just fresh. And you're just full of it. Say, I know we're going to be okay. I know we don't have everything, but it's going to be okay. We don't need everything because we got each other, God. I know if you're with me, I'm good. What if we had that kind of love? Would our giving be different if we felt that kind of love? See, that's the love he wants in your heart. I don't want this love like, I know everything. I got to do this. I got to do that. We got this whole equation we go through, and then we say, okay, how much? What if we just got rid of the equation and said, God, because of your love, this is my response. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your amazing love. We thank you for the tremendous gift of your Son. I mean, what inheritance he has given us freely through him, those great treasures. And so, God, let us honor you with the earthly treasures you entrusted with us, as well as the spiritual treasures, but let us honor you with it, that it just would glorify you and lift up your heavenly treasures. And Lord, there would just be demonstration of our faith with you, to know that you truly are a provider, you care for us, and that we will daily walk with you in all circumstances, as you say, as Paul says, I've learned to be content in all times, whether I'm rich or poor, beaten or not, or healthy. I mean, the secret of contentment is to find that man, amazing walk in grace with you, that love. May it be with us too. And so we pray together the prayer you taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
So we are called to respond to the message that Pastor just gave us. And wherever you might be on this giving pathway, I just pray that you would work on demonstrating your trust in God as a cheerful giver and giving from the heart, just praying over God's purpose for your offerings. And your worship folder has listed instructions for different ways to give, and also includes our offering envelope, if you would like to place your offering in here, so that you can choose the best way to give. And on the back of your connection card, if you'd like more information on how to get involved in a ministry, you can check the box, and we'd be happy to get back to you. And also, any prayer requests you have, our prayer team would love to pray over those on whatever God has put into your heart. And on the back of your offering, on the back of your bulletin, you're going to see your schedule of things up and coming with hope. And I wanted to point out to you that our life group starts up in 2 weeks. And this gives us a place to belong and to blossom in Christ, because we need others in order to learn and to grow. And we do this by sharing with each other. And also, we have our membership classes coming up. So you can come and have lunch with us. You can learn about what God's mission is at Hope on the Beach Church, the history of the Lutheran Church and our Lutheran Missouri Synod. And if you would like to take your offering envelope and also your connection card, you can put them in the plates. And really quickly, I wanted to note, before I forget here, that on your life group card with our schedule, we have one that got left off. We have so many listed, we practically ran out of room here. We're going to end up with like a 1.5 font, and that is good news. Amen? So God has put life group leaders into Hope on the Beach Church for a purpose, and we're just so blessed with all of them. And the one that's missing is actually in Freeport. It's a ladies group on Mondays at 5 o'clock with Melanie Sellers. So we're going to continue our worship, and at this time you can bring up your offerings.
The same God that never fails will not fail me now. He won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. And yes, I will lift you high. In the lowest valley, yes, I will bless your name. And yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will, I choose to praise, to glorify the name of all. That nothing can stand against, I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. That nothing can stand against, and yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will for all my days. Yes, I will for all my days. Yes, I will.
I invite us to rise as we draw our hearts closer to the Lord through a time of confession and absolution. Let's do it together.